Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, both of whom who have sent the Spirit to teach us all things and remind us of all that Jesus has said. This morning, our sermon text are these words from John chapter 14, beginning at verse 25, and I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. Jesus answered, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So far our sermon text. Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by them, for they are the truth. Set us apart from this world to yourself, that we may live forever with you in glory. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, my good friend John is gone. He was a good friend over the years, even taught me some of the Greek language that I know. He told me these absolutely awful Ole and Lena jokes all the time, too. Now he's gone. We rejoiced together in good times. We rejoiced in the successes of our ministries, and we commiserated with one another when things weren't going so well, but now he's just gone. And I find myself forgetting little by little the things that he said to me. I miss him. Maybe someone you have known through your life, someone that you cared about has died. And I wonder if you don't find yourself fretting a little bit about forgetting those little things, little by little. Think of the disciples. They experienced this twice over. For 3 years, they were taught by their Lord, their friend, their mentor, their teacher, Jesus. And then they saw him crucified, put in a tomb, and the mouth of it sealed, and he was gone. I imagine they wondered. I imagine they thought about the things Jesus had said to them. And then on that glorious third day on Easter morning, Jesus was alive again, and that evening he was with them, and he brought to their remembrance many of the things that he had said, especially the promise of the Holy Spirit. He shared that with them again and again. And then after 40 days, he was taken up into heaven, he ascended, and he was gone again, and the disciples must have wondered, are we going to forget him gradually? But then, we know what happened. Jesus made good on his promise to send the Holy Spirit. On Pentecost Day, the promised Holy Spirit came with the sound of a mighty rushing wind and divided tongues of fire that seemed to land on the heads of the believers. And they were speaking the good news that Jesus had shared with them in many languages that they had never learned before, so that everyone could hear and understand and believe what Jesus had said. The Spirit came at Jesus' bidding, and at the bidding of the Father, to teach and remind believers what Jesus had said and done. And not just then, not just on that day, but even today, here, he's with us. So that we know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we know their words of eternal life. And so in celebration of this day, I would invite you to turn to the festival hymn, Holy Spirit, God of Love. And please rise as we join to sing that hymn. Holy Spirit, God of love, who our darkness brightens, pour on us from heaven above, and our faith enlightens. In your light we gather here, show us that Christ's promise clear. Is amen forever. Jesus, our ascended Lord, oh, fulfill your gracious word. Bless us with your favor. You may be seated. The disciples could no longer see Jesus. He had ascended. But he gave the Holy Spirit to all believers. And on this day, we remember the events of that first Pentecost day. And we rejoice because the Spirit teaches us all things and brings to our remembrance all that Jesus said. And so the first thing that we should take note of today is that Jesus does not give as the world gives. The world gives. We receive from it many, many blessings. But one day they'll all be taken away. All that we have from this world decays into corruption and eventually, if not now, when Jesus returns, all of it will burn away as though by fire. None of it will be left. Even the good things that the world supplies are fading away. And it's all too easy to forget this truth. Have you put your trust in worldly things? They're fleeting. They often distract us from eternal things. Have you put your trust in the powers of this world to protect you? They're just men. The wind blows and the flower fades, the grass withers, and soon they return to dust. Have you put your trust in wise decision-making and planning and foresight? All too soon, the decisions are no longer ours to make. And the time arrives when all that planning and foresight is kind of meaningless. How many people do we know who have even forgotten their own names and the names of their children? That's what the world is like. And the world doesn't always supply good things. This world is fatally infected with sin, corrupted and dying. And so oftentimes we receive from it troublesome things. Disease. I think we're all pretty acquainted with that now. Strife. Just turn on the TV. Grief. How many funerals have we had? And pain. Many of you know the pain of arthritis, the pain of a broken body. These are not punishments from God. But in our sin-addled state, we often think so. We easily think that God wishes our destruction because of these evil things. And surely we've angered him with our misplaced trust in worldly things. Surely we have not paid attention to him and to the needs of our neighbors, and so we deserve his wrath. These calamities and crises of the world are the outgrowth of sin, sometimes even our own sins. The scriptures say that sin came into the world through Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread because all men have sinned. But Jesus did not give as the world gives. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. What Jesus gave will not die. It will not perish. It will not pass away at the end of the age. In fact, by his grace, we will reign, he says, in life. Instead of death, instead of the end of earthly life, instead of the condemnation of God and the punishment of eternal death in hell, we have received from God's hand a free gift, the free gift of righteousness in Christ. And we will not die forever, but live eternally. Jesus did not give as the world gives. Were it up to us, we would unfortunately, quickly forget him and his gift of eternal life. Our attention is so easily diverted by all the stuff around us and the things that we think are so important but will pass away. But Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to care for us while we're living in this earthly life. And the Spirit teaches us and reminds us of what Jesus did for us. Yes, Jesus does not give as the world gives. He tells us that he also left his peace for us. This is the peace that surpasses all our understanding. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace that Jesus left does not go away like the momentary peace that we sometimes experience here on earth, the ceasefires. Nations take up arms against other nations, and citizens are at odds even within our own country. Sometimes between even members of our congregation, there can be those rubs that just seem to hang on. But think of the peace that Jesus has left us. You are all baptized into Christ's family. You all share the one holy baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, if you don't, see me after the service, please. This is for all of you. You are all washed clean and forgiven all your sins. And this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Every time you gather here, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, you hear Jesus saying, your sins are forgiven. You hear him speaking to you through these feeble lips of mine, because he breathed on his disciples and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. Think of the peace which this forgiveness brings. Don't hang on to the shame and guilt of your former sins. You are forgiven. Think instead on that brand new life that God has given you in Christ, every moment he's giving that to you, that thought is the work of the Holy Spirit in your hearts, reminding you that Jesus has left his peace for you. And his peace remains with us. Think of that peace that Jesus left a little further, and you will see that by the Spirit that Jesus has even given you a foretaste of eternity and the fullness of his love and forgiveness in the Holy Sacrament. He personally comes to you to forgive you. The perfect sacrifice that Jesus prepared with his own body and blood, that perfect, innocent, infinite life of his, given and shed for you as the offering to God that turned aside the wrath over sin and kept it from falling upon us. That very body and blood is before you in Holy Communion. It's for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And surely he did not fail to win forgiveness for all your sins. Forgiveness for every Christian. Forgiveness even for the whole world. When you commune together, think of that peace that you have before God. What a blessing. And remember that that person beside you on either side of you, all the people who commune with you, they have received this forgiveness from God as well. How could we fail to forgive our fellow members? And why would we not want this gift for all people? Think of the peace that you have together as redeemed children of the Heavenly Father, as members of Christ's own body, the church. There is forgiveness, life, and salvation. There you will find peace. There you will find lasting peace, real peace, eternal peace like no other. These are the things that Jesus wants you to know, and that's why he has sent his Spirit even this morning to teach us all things and to remind us of the words of eternal life that Jesus alone has for us. If you've forgotten some of this, if you've neglected these precious truths, if you've been distracted by the offerings of the world, do not despair, but listen to the Spirit. He teaches, he reminds through word and sacrament. If you have stayed away from church overly long, maybe even you feel uncomfortable about coming back, come and hear the works of the Lord. This is the very reason why the Spirit has called out to you today and increased your faith. I know I need this every day, but especially as I think on those whom I've lost in this life, I realize I'm not lagging too far behind them. Will people remember us? I kind of doubt it. I think we'll pass away into the mists of history like so many before us. But really, the bigger question for you today is not whether people will remember us, but whether they will have heard through us the good news of Jesus Christ. Whether they will have believed, been granted everlasting life by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Then even the passing of this world will not be important. Only the blessed reunion of the saints in heaven. Then I will see my friend John, and you will see your loved ones who have believed in Christ. And I thank the Spirit for reminding me of that this morning, reminding me of what Jesus has had to say. And I thank him for teaching me all of this. And I hope you will too. That's why we pray this day. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle in us the fire of your holy love. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.